Well, as we've been doing during the season of Advent, we are going to start with a children's story. And today's book is called The Christmas Blessing. And the pictures will be up there. It is written by Aaron Wendelsberger. And pictures were illustrated by Gail Yarrell. Once upon a midnight sky, a mama star rocked her child. Nestling close, she softly whispered words of love and smiled. Then through the dark, a booming voice said, "On this very night, a baby will be born to fill the world with endless light. Mama Star, please shine a path the family can see and lead them to the humble barn for their nativity." Mama's heart was filled with pride. Of course she'd lead the way. She sparkled bright and brighter still until she shone like day. Inside the stable, suddenly the animals awoke. They bumped, they brayed, they crashed, they neighed. Then everybody spoke. "Is it still night? What's happening? Who's stepping on my hoof? What's going on? Ouch, that's my tail. What's shining through the roof?" "Quiet now," the cow called out. "Please, everyone calm down." And as they stilled, they heard a twinkling, sparkling sort of sound. Mama Star said, "Friends, tonight great visitors will come. Please clean the manger. Work as one. Don't rest until it's done." "Clean," said Goat. "It's not my mess." "Nor mine," clucked Mother Hen. "I'm not responsible," said Horse. Pig snorted from his pen. "I'd help," said Pig, "except that horse is standing in the way." "Stay back," said Horse. "We don't want all your mud in our clean hay." "I don't trust the way you sound," the chicken said to Goat. Goat said, "I don't trust your pecking or your feathered coat. We're too different. Fur and feathers, oinks and bleats and neighs. We can't work together. We won't do it. Not today." The stable once again was filled with dazzling pure white light. Mama Star said, "Please, my friends, don't argue. Please don't fight. A baby will arrive tonight. This manger is his bed. The child must have a safe, warm place to lay his precious head. You think you're all too different and you cannot work as one. But look around at how you hold your daughters and your sons. We all love our children and our families and our friends. Love is love. If you're a goat, a pig, a horse, or a hen. This special new delivery will bless us with his birth, a savior who has come to spread pure love upon this earth. We're more alike in many ways. There's so much that we share. Please set aside your differences and hurry. Let's prepare." Mama Goat looked at her kids and Paw Horse at his foal, and soon they began to understand Mama Star's real goal. Rooster, donkey, cow, and sheep all held their babies close. They cuddled cozy, snug together, nuzzled nose to nose. Then Horse helped Pig clean out some muck, while Goat helped Chicken sweep. Cow and Oxen moved the manger with the help of Sheep. Donkey brought in fresh, clean straw to make the manger warm. Bit by bit, the space around the animals transformed. "Look at what we've done," Goat said. "It's marvelous indeed." The animals had come together with acceptance, love, and speed. Everyone had played their part, and now the work was done. The manger was now ready to receive a Savior son. Mama Star was filled with joy, with gratitude and love. "Well done," she cried, her brilliant brightness shining from above. "Together, you've prepared this space, embracing one another. You've all worked in harmony like sister works with brother. The Holy Family walked into the stable clean and bright, bathed in light from Mama Star, who glowed with all her might. With quiet clucks and gentle nods, the animals said hello, welcoming the visitors, a family soon to grow. The blessed child was born that night within that humble space, a savior full of truth and beauty, goodness, love, and grace. As mothers rocked their babies and as fathers tucked them in, the precious baby fell asleep, a new world to begin. Bye. So on this first Advent, or sorry, the second Sunday of Advent, when our focus is peace, that story seems to fit, don't you think? I just found the idea that animals would bicker over mucking out the stables hilarious. I just like that a lot. But the message that the star gave them, the reason for them to get along and work together for the good of others, is so relatable. Deep inside, we love the same way. We care for our friends and our families the same way. We are essentially the same at our core. So we need to work together for the good of others. And in this case, to welcome Jesus. But isn't that also the truth? Jesus will not find a home in a group of people when they're bickering. One of the lessons in our storybook is similar to the one we'll get from our scripture reading. If we want peace, we have to do some work. And that work could be hard, it could be dirty, and we'll all need to commit to the same goal. I mean, just imagine if that pig was the one that didn't want to commit to that goal. And while everyone else was cleaning, the pig was just kicking mud around. Never going to get a clean house that way. That might not be a bad metaphor either for why it's so hard to achieve peace on earth. There are lots of workers for peace. I think we can also look around and see those that are flinging mud around. God has sent many prophets to tell us to take care of creation, to think about future generations, to see one another as sister and brother, but still the sins of selfishness and greed and fear keep peace at bay. Did you know that during the humanity's documented history, so for about 3,400 years, only 8% of the time there was entirely peace. The world was entirely at peace. 8%. I think we could do better. Now, lack of peace was not unfamiliar in the time of Isaiah. He and the other prophets from the Hebrew scriptures were largely speaking God's word to them in that moment, to the kings and to the people when they had lost touch with God's plan for them to be blessings to others. When the kings began chasing greed, when the people began worshiping idols, then punishment would come, typically in the form of war and exile. Isaiah was prophesying about 740 BCE, so 740 years to 700 years before Christ was born. And he was warning about what would become a devastating conflict in their history. And in chapter 10, he pronounces this: doom to those who pronounce wicked decrees and keep writing harmful laws to deprive the needy of their rights and to rob the poor among my people of justice, to make widows their loot, to steal from orphans. This doom was coming to Isaiah's people, but it would come through the Assyrians, and the Israelites would go through another round of occupation and exile, But Isaiah will go on to say, yeah, but the Assyrians are also really awful, so they're also going to have some sort of doom and punishment. But he goes on to promise that there's remnants of Israel. There's a few people that are scattered about that will remain, and they will return. And God will remove their yokes of oppression. And it's from those remnants that this vision of restoration of the kingdom comes, like a branch coming forth from a stump. And so Joyce is also going to come read for us the scripture. And you're going to hear that image of the branch.
Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we read this and hear this in a post-Jesus era. So most of us understand this new branch to be Jesus. But living over 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah and his Jewish family had not really even developed the concept of a Messiah yet. But he knew there was help coming. Someone would come. That there would be peace born. And this is the peace of God, which we call shalom, where every person and every part of creation are reconciled to one another and reconciled to God. Now, while Isaiah's words, what he actually spoke, were before the Assyrian takeover, this written scroll of Isaiah would be read for generations after. And they would be listening to this promise, this vision, this word of hope, while living in the aftermath of that devastation, while living in exile, while living in oppression. They would know the devastation of their homeland, their families, and most likely be wondering, how in the world are we going to make it back? How can we make a path forward? The imagery here of reversals is shocking to any generation. Snakes playing in a, or babies playing in a snake's den, that's never going to be normal sounding. So we have this vision of a time of peace when natural enemies cohabitate, they share food, they don't give in to what we would consider their natural instincts to hunt each other. Have they been tamed? I don't know how that can happen. But it's a jarring enough image or concept of peace that it helps us see that the kingdom of God is totally unlike, in fact, it's the total opposite of kingdoms we've experienced on earth. Even now, we hear people speaking empty words about the desires for peace while politicians destroy support systems that can help people achieve their shalom, whether through food, housing, or healthcare. Our world is filled with rulers, even if they're not kings. They're filled with rulers who serve the rich, who make the poor miserable, who seek vengeance and retaliation. They spew ugly words, and the people around them turn into those barn animals, complaining about one another, refusing to work with one another. But this branch that will rise up to restore the plan God had for all of the ancestors of Abraham will subvert all the rulers of the world who use power and violence and money for their own self-aggrandizement. Instead, we know this branch, this Jesus, that we come here to not just learn about, but to imitate, brought peace through changing hearts. He showed in his life and death that it was more powerful to stand for love than to pick up a sword. He showed it was more important to put people's well-being above the law so that people could be healed and restored to society rather than pushed away. He set out to do the work Isaiah was predicting would happen. He sought justice for the poor and equity for the exploited. His words caused people to repent, which then destroyed the wickedness in them. He brought God's peace to the world as a goal. Now, this shalom isn't just a feeling of calmness or a lack of war, but it's a state in which everybody has what they need to be who they were made to be by God. Every person would have access without judgment to assistance if they need assistance, to healing, proper food, clothing, housing, whatever it is they need, not just to survive, but to thrive as a human. To live out their creative self or their compassionate self, to do whatever they are meant to do to further the work of God in the world. So shalom's not an individual thing. It's for the whole world. And it really won't exist until everybody has it. We're all interconnected. We all live on this same earth. We're all part of God. So if I have peace, but I can see neighbors that do not, then I don't really have peace. It's not really shalom. In God's kingdom, we're not going to enjoy our own individual peace if somebody else suffers. So while we practice our breathing and our prayers, and we work on our language of nonviolence to create our own bubble of peace, we're called as followers of Christ to be peacemakers, especially for those who cannot do that for themselves. So the question then is, how are we living to be peace in the world? Who around us needs us to work for their peace? Richard Rohr says there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Think about that. Not a destination, but the road we build ourselves. Or if you want a different person, Mahatma Gandhi famously says on bumper stickers around the world, be the change you wish to see in the world. Be the peace that you want. So through the strength of the Spirit following Jesus, we can be the way of peace. So grace to you, fellow peacemakers. Amen.